I'm telling you, we have a great church. I love our church. Who? What else? Devotion. When you think of devotion, Mike, what do you think?
I mean, I looked at it as like a marriage relationship.
Right? Yeah.
Where no matter how ugly, good, bad, all that stuff comes with it and attacks it, you've got to just stay devoted.
Yeah.
All the way through it.
Yeah, all the way through it. That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Something you choose above all else.
Yeah. Yeah, above everything. Above everything, right? Above everything. Devoted. Devoted, yeah.
Something that you don't give up on.
Yeah.
Like
through the hard times, the good times. Yeah, whether it seems like it's working all out right or not. Yeah, you're devoted to it, right? Yes, Terry.
So to me, if I'm asking myself, what's the difference between devoted and committed?
That's the question, right?
Yeah. Passion or your heart, and like it's kind of all of you, maybe a little bit more, because I can you know follow through with something that I'm committed to because I've decided to.
Right.
Devotion is it's a part of me. This is just who I am.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna let somebody else. Who else? Anybody else? Anybody else? That's really good. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's really good. I hadn't thought about it in that way. You can't live without it. Yeah, it's really good. All right, so next question. Next question. So why is devotion in these areas that we've talked about? Why is devotion so difficult?
Distractions,
yeah, good. Okay, next question. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, people go through bad experiences, and yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, "Beyond this must I be warned: the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body." So yeah, I guess you have to be careful not to be excessive.
Yeah.
Doing something, you know.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's gonna be wearisome, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, you would have a scripture for that. I love you for that. You're such a woman of the Word of God. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Also, like the give and take. I feel like when you're devoted, you're not so much worried about like I gave this much and I only got back a little bit, right? And so like that can be taxing.
Oh yeah. Because you constantly feel like you're giving out.
Maybe.
Yeah. 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 Good. That's good. Yeah.
To tag on top of what Melissa said, just like the lack of fruit from it maybe sometimes, mm-hmm. or like you're not getting the immediate response that you're hoping from that devotion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. It can be wearisome, right? Mm-hmm. Your devotion can be wearisome. Anybody else? What makes it so difficult to be devoted? We talked about the time. We talked about the physical, right? The wearisome, I've given it. Yes, sir.
Devotion is not something you think about. Devotion is something that you just do.
I think that's true, right?
Yeah.
I think that's true.
You've got to commit yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It should just, it should, right?
It comes from inside your body. Somebody needs help, you go and do it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Devotion.
Okay, that's a really powerful, like, that's convicting, is it not? That's convicting,
devotion.
Right?
Devotion is commitment.
Yeah. Right,
without
right.
Thinking.
Yeah, I like that.
Reward.
I like that. Oh, without the reward, right?
Without the reward, that's devotion.
Wow. Yeah, what's that?
Vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's all out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you just kind of put yourself out there. This is who I've decided I'm going to be, right? I'm fully devoted. I'm into it. Yeah. What about our cultures? our culture's effect on believers and our devotion to God? How does that all work together? Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times, there's a lot more like atheists now because they think about it too much, and they're like, "I want to see him."
Yeah.
But they don't they just want like physical proof all
right.
the time. Or if like I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, well, this is the rise of atheism, right, in our culture, the rise of perceived atheism, I'll call it perceived atheism, right? It's, it's a different kind of culture. Like, how many of y'all remember? I mean, some of us are old enough to remember where this Christianity was kind of a norm, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to believe unless they see, right?
Or hear or anything.
Yeah.
They just think, it's a feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. What other ways our culture affected our ability to have devotion?
Our culture has plenty of distractions, and someone who decides to not have distractions, like, for example, somebody who lives a simple, similar life, like the Amish or the Quakers or whatever, they're made fun of or they're stigmatized or whatever, our culture has plenty of distractions, and that's part of who we are right now as a modern society.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. It's very true. It causes controversy in our culture. That's really good. Being countercultural, right? And what about other cultures who've had it worse than we have, right? So you're talking about like persecutions, and you're talking about, you're antagonistic. I was talking to a friend of mine. They're about to go to India right now, and it's very volatile. Actually, to be a Christian in India is one of the toughest places to be right now, especially in certain areas of India, because they'll just put you to death. Matter of fact, the prime minister was behind one of the biggest biggest massacres of Christians, and now is going to be the I don't know if he is or going to be the prime minister of India. It's a really difficult situation. So, but look at those guys. It's almost like for them, like the persecution has made them put the stake in the ground, right? And said, no, I'm devoted. Boy, and there is no halfway doing Christianity in India or in some of the other countries that we know of, right? So what is that? How does that look like? Like maybe do some comparison to that kind of situation to our kind of situation. Any thoughts on that? Yeah.
It really reminds me, Allison, I remember we're doing a study on joy, a book study, and Stacey Eldridge is the author, and she was saying there's a holy struggle that happens throughout our lives that really pull out that fruit of the Spirit, you know, comparing joy and happiness, and this really reminds me of comparing commitment and devotion. So it's like, it's hard for us, I think, because a lot of us may have it quite easier.
Yeah.
The culture we're talking about. So it's, you know, we don't have to necessarily go through that, but we tend to despise some of the things that we go through when God wants to pull that out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And even though he may not be causing those things, but he can definitely bring forth a holiness of like a holy devotion, or you know, when we were talking about joy, you know, bring that out, and you know, he shows you all
through the difficulty,
through the struggle and
through
the pain. But it was even hard for us to differentiate joy and happiness, because it's like, well, it's so hard, because I mean, in the flesh, I mean, it's just like, well, it's an emotion. No, it's not. It's something. I mean, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I think even devotion is something that is of the Spirit that God pulls out of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Jessica, your thoughts on all this stuff? You knew I was going to call on you. No, but I did tell you I was going to call on you. Because I know you're she's a thinker, right? Jessica's a thinker.
Okay, so
and I'll give you a second if you want me to give you...
No, I mean, I have got... I want to relationship with the Lord, when you have an experiential moment that nobody can take away from you, you'll take the sword. You'll take this fight. You'll do that. And so our culture can say, they can even kind of understand commitment to religion. It may be weird, but they can get it. You know, I get it. You do the church thing, or you do commitment to religion. But devoted to a relationship with your Creator is the Gloucester translation. And that, I think, is where we take carnal Christianity or cultural Christianity, whatever you may want to call it, I'm reminded of when Christ asked the apostles, who do they say I am, and are you going to leave me? And Peter said, where are we going to go?
Right.
You have the words of life. When you understand that, that's devotion.
Yeah.
I can't live apart from prayer. I can't live apart from the body of Christ and drinking bread with him. I can't live apart from your teaching because I've experienced it. I'm not just committed. I'm devoted without any thinking.
Yeah. And that transcends culture, right? It transcends your culture. It transcends, you know, what we experience. It transcends.
I could go to any other nation and someone else who's a believer and is living in that, and we are connected.
Yeah.
Beyond language, beyond culture, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we both get that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. It's really good. I tell you, you have a good answer. It's good. All right. So. It's hard, right? Devotion. This is one of those series where, this is what I kind of want to, I know this is a difficult, one of these difficult series, right? Because we're talking about like us being committed and we're all at different places in our commitment and our walk with the Lord, right? We're all in different places. And so what we're asking is that, and what I feel like, you know, let me just say this. So when God, I feel like God puts a message on my heart, it's directional, right? For our church. Right, so it's not just say, hey, this is really cool. Let me just speak on this. So when I feel like God gives me a series or whatever, especially one like this, it's very, you know, God has it like intentional. Like, where is God calling us as a church? Where is God calling, and really as a church, meaning all of us individually, where is God calling us as individuals? And so, like, what ways, so in all this, let me ask this question first before I get to that one. Is it as simple? This was the question that I had that I just kind of was going, this will be an interesting question. Is this topic of devotion and being more devoted, is it just as simply as you just need to be devoted? You just need to be more devoted, right? Because I feel like that's what we've always taught, right? Like in churches, like you just need to be more devoted. You're just not as devoted as you need to be. You're just not, you know, you should just give more, right? You should just witness more. You should just pray more. You should just this more. You should just do that more, right? Is it more than just saying, just be more devoted? Because I'll be honest, as a preacher, that's an easy way out. For me to stand up and tell you to be more devoted. Right? You see what I'm saying? And I believe it's a cop-out. Let me just say it. Because, so then what is it? Like, how do we become more devoted? How do we raise this level of devotion on the inside of us? Terry, what's your thought? Okay. Tell me, I want you to say it.
I'm sorry.
Or just speak to that thing. Right.
And I don't believe devotion is necessarily an act, like a doing or an action, although it results in one.
Truth.
It comes from being.
Yeah.
It comes from intimacy.
Yes.
It comes from being known, knowing and being known. Because, you know, the Bible says, and like this is where like the church is its own worst enemy. Because we're talking about a culture of not unbelievers, maybe so to speak, versus like a culture of believers. Right? I think that's kind of what I'm hearing you say. And like how our society and the world, so to speak, like looks at us and how does it affect us. But the church can be its own worst enemy.
Yes.
Denominational.
Yes.
Like regions, like demographics.
Yes.
Like that. Like people who like live a certain way and are you really devoted? Well, I don't see you doing this. So I don't know if you're devoted. And then we begin to be judged by our works, which has nothing to do with the heart.
Right.
Because I may be 100% devoted to the Lord, but I may be in a season where my life is like crazy, and I can't necessarily do the things that my heart wants to do. You know, instead I'm in a season of, you know, the things that I don't want to do or the things that I do, like Paul says. So God looks at the heart, and man looks at the outside, and it's what is our heart saying?
Yeah.
Who we are.
Yeah. That's so good. Hang on one second. Philip. Hiding back there in the back. Present. About time, Philip. Your thoughts on just this whole gamut. Well,
you know what I mean by that is it's like devotion to the Lord is going to cost you, whether it's friendships or time or financially, it's going to cost you something. I mean, Jesus blatantly says, like, don't follow me unless you count the cost. And in 2018, our culture's like, no, I want to follow Jesus as long as it doesn't cost me anything of what I want.
And I get back what I want to get back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
One thing that I see kind of in myself as I'm looking at this is where I don't always hit the mark. Yeah, that failure thing
right.
will prevent us from trying it again.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, okay, I didn't quite hit my mark of reading Bible every day or whatever. You know, trying, you know, being that, you know, making effort to be devoted and missing the mark.
Right.
And in that, you know, our human nature kind of takes over and goes, why try again? You're just going to fail again. That kind of cycle can sometimes kick in and pull us back from
being there. Yeah, that's so, because is it, yeah, Scott.
That's the, again, I just listened to you, and I struggle with that, too. I think everybody does. But that then becomes, that's the commitment thing, right, versus devotion thing.
Yeah.
Because you want to. You all of a sudden trying to do an act of, I'm going to read my Bible every day, and then when you don't, then you feel guilty about it because, you know, life has pushed you in different directions or whatever.
Yeah.
But the devotion thing, is, you know, to me, is exactly what was said before. It's a heart.
It is a heart. Thing. It is a heart thing.
You can't just, you know, you just can't say that, hey, you got to be more devoted. From within, you have to develop that heart thing that I want more of God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. Yeah.
Putting yourself in a place where you have these goals, but it's not like if you miss that goal, you didn't fail. You just know that next time you need to push yourself a little more and be more devoted. Understanding that you're not trying to go for commitment, but for devotion, and pushing yourself without forcing yourself to fail.
Yeah, yeah. It's that balance, right? It's that balance of I got to, I know what I need to do, but I know it's the things that I want to do, I don't do, right? It's that mentality, that you know, the things that I want to do and I should do, and then the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing it, right? So, but that's the heart of it all. And I think that's a powerful summary of this message. And I, honestly, that's been my struggle in preparing these messages, because I don't want to be, you guys should know me by now, I don't want to be that, you should be more devoted, because my heart is, let's create an atmosphere where people can encounter God, right? And so because, like some of these youth that went on this retreat not too long ago, back in the summer, they'll never be the same. Not because they had heard some good teaching, but because they had an encounter with God. They had an encounter with God. They'll never be the same, right? And so, let me read this. Mark chapter 12. And I think this is a good sum up. It says, one of the teachers, chapter 12, verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, let's read this slow because we know all now know where we're going, right? But let's read it slow. Of all of the commandments, which is the most important? Everybody say most. Most important. The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel. It's the Shema, right? The Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. The second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying God is one and there is no one but him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the, listen to this, than all the burnt offerings and sacrifice. This guy was smart. This guy knew exactly where Jesus was going with this. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, everybody say wisely. He said to them, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then, no one dared ask him any more questions. I just think that's funny as an aside. Jesus says, look, there is none more important than that commandment. What is devotion? It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's it. You could really end it there, but Jesus goes on. But could you really end it there? Because the truthfully is, if you do love the Lord with all your heart, right, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Jesus says that's the number one commandment. He didn't say you need to memorize the Torah. He didn't say you need to read your Bible every day. He didn't say you need to pray every day. He says, you shall love the Lord your God. And another translation, another version of this story, he says, all the laws and the prophets are built on that command. Meaning, you do this one, you've fulfilled them all. Why? Because that love for God is going to draw you to read your Bible. That love for God is going to draw you to go, hey, listen, I don't know if you know this Jesus, but he has radically changed my life. And it's not like you have to muster up this courage to, no. This is something that God's done to me, and I have to share it. I have to be a person that shares the word. I'm not just that guy who's just out. Maybe that guy is. I mean, you can't judge people, right? You're not just that guy that just, well, I have to do my, you know, checklist, right? And then it's different when you, so that makes it even different when you're like, I don't want to commit to do it because of my failure, right? Because my failure is not really it. The it is I love God with everything. I love God with all my heart, my soul, and my might. Amen? So we can be safe devoting our lives to Him. Because it's not about, never was about works anyway. It never was about works. It's never about a list of do's and don'ts. It's a list of, God, I love you. And I do what I do because I love you. Right? Like, I hope that my wife wouldn't, like, she'll buy me, like, this Christmas present out of some kind of awkward duty. Right? I hope that when somebody does that act of love or act of service to you or your spouse or whoever that may be, it's not like, well, this is what I got to do. To be a good husband, I got to do this, right? I don't want to be the recipient of that, right? I don't think God does either. God wants love and devotion. Last scripture, and we'll close. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw, now read this scripture in that light, right? As a person devoted to God, not out of duty. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for me. Not just us, me. My race. My race. And what's my race? I'm going to be devoted to God. What does that look like? I'm going to love God with everything. Out of the abundance of what God's done for me, I'm going to live from there. Hopefully, that'll pull out all the condemnation. Hopefully, it'll pull out all of the woe is me, because that's not where my heart is. My heart is, I'm doing it because I love God. I'm coming to church so because I love God. I read my Bible, you know, not because Pastor David told me to. It's because I love God. Amen? Let's all stand together. It's kind of different, wasn't it? It's good. So, God, we turn our attention towards you this morning. God, I pray.